Hello, everyone. Today's Q&A day. We're going to kick things off talking a little bit about the holidays. So if you are just finishing No BS and you are now joining us in the main group, this is a Q&A call. And for this month, what we typically do inside of No BS is when you are not working on the No BS weight loss course, we have what we call monthly focuses, which means that you can join us to study the topic of the month, or if you do not need that topic, you can go to our self-study resources and you can pick whatever you want and you can study on your own while also just attending calls. The way we do the month is it's not like you need to watch every call in order to do a course. It's just people are going to be going through handling the holidays because it is the holiday season. And then a lot of our calls are structured around typical things that come up during the holidays that might rock our world when it comes to eating. So you're going to see on the calendar a grief coaching call, because grief is a big thing during the holidays. It brings up a lot of trauma for people, brings up a lot of sadness. You know, we need to address traditions, the first holidays without people. It could be your 20th holiday without someone, and it still brings up a lot of emotion. And so we coach on it and we talk about it so that you don't feel like you need to eat over it. And then we're going to be doing other things. So let me pull up my notes. I just literally had them in front of me, but y'all, if you ever saw my screens, I work like a teetotal mess most of the time. And so I am going to bring up, let's see which coach is here. Let me get my participants up. And it, whoever the coach is that needs to be brought on stage, if you'll go ahead and raise your hand, I can get you pulled up. And then it looks like Coach Judith is in the chat. So she will be talking in all caps. And so if you have questions, you can post them in the Q&A. If you want to post in the chat, you can post in the chat. Just make sure you post to everyone. All right. So I just want to say a special welcome to all of our newbies who are transitioning out of their Jumpstart group into the main Facebook group. One of the things that we tested this time was giving y'all a group. Not every person who's come through the No BS doors has done that. So if you didn't use the group, you didn't lose nothing. So I don't want to hear no guilt. I don't want to hear no shamey. We don't do this kind of shit around No BS. We do not shame ourselves. Something that my coach taught me yesterday as I was, I'm taking a special 6-month program with my coach, and it is all about deep dive coaching and getting in more into our nervous system and stuff. But she said something that really struck me yesterday, which is when something's over. So let's say how you showed up the last month inside of No BS, whether you're new or whether you've been here for 20 years, not 20 years, I haven't even been in business that long, say 3 years, whatever it is. The only option is to look back on it and decide that was the best decision you could have made. She was like, it makes no sense for us ever to look back and scold ourselves, make it wrong, wish we had done it differently. And so she says, if you really think about it, the only way to figure out how you want to move forward is to allow yourself like compassion, understanding, and like, it makes sense why I did it that way. It was the best I could do last month. Look at me. I really took care of myself by limiting how much stuff I was doing inside of No BS. I've read lots of you. You know, we never can predict when life is going to throw us curveballs. We never can predict when we are going to hear things that we don't want to hear, or we're going to go through seasons that we didn't anticipate. You know, kids are going to get sick, or if you're like me right now, you're waiting on diagnosis type stuff with your husband. There's just all kinds of things. We never know when those things are going to happen. And a lot of times when we are blindsided, when things happen that we don't understand, our nervous system gets rocked. And I was actually talking to my friend Jane about this morning. So if you're interested in some of this, she teaches some of these concepts inside the Trust Your Body course. But we were talking about, like for me, last week when, I just still get so emotional about all of it. I had taken Chris back for a follow-up colonoscopy. I had no idea that we were there for anything other than they were going to mark his colon and say like, oh, and he had told me like, you're coming back in 3 years to get a scan. He had not told me that they had found cancer in his polyp that they removed. So when the doctor walked in and drops all this on me of like, you know, we found it and he's going to have surgery and we're going to do the CT scan next week, like literally news to me. Imagine me speechless. Hard to imagine, right? The one thing most people never accuse me of is an inability to form a sentence, running my mouth, having something to say, quick on her feet, like none of that. I immediately didn't even know what to ask. And I've been through cancer twice with my grandparents. If there's anybody that knows a lot about this, it's me. I was highly involved in their caretaking, all of their doctor's appointments and everything. So I've been through this shit two times now. But it was very traumatic. And so my nervous system just went from fine to freeze in a heartbeat. Then, because I couldn't even process and ask the questions, when Chris got into the room, I was angry. I went from freeze to anger. My nervous system was just a wreck. And so what Jane was telling me this morning is it makes sense. When your nervous system is overwhelmed, you lose the ability for the thinking and reasoning and logical part of your brain to come online. Your brain is designed that way. That's not because something's wrong with you. It's not because something's broken. It's not because you're some, you know, fat bitch who'll never lose weight and lazy and all these things that we talk to ourselves about. Like I think about the time Logan got diagnosed with autism. I'd already lost all my weight. I was not an emotional eater. None of the things. And the night that we had went to a conference and they told us that 85% of autistic parents will end in divorce. That night, Chris and I shared pizza, like a whole one. And I just looked at him and said, I'm fucking eating this pizza. Like, this is the best I can do. I can get started tomorrow. Those are nervous system moments. What I watch all of us do that is so detrimental to our weight loss, if you actually want to lose weight, you can't afford to be an asshole to yourself over triggered events. Sometimes we don't show up for every class. Sometimes we have to put a pause on listening to Corinne all the time. Sometimes we're going to eat at the end of the day because we have no other way to cope. That's not the problem. The real problem is when you make those moments hard on yourself. When you get swallowed up by them and make them mean, therefore I can't lose weight, instead of making them mean, I did the best I could. And my goal is to now learn how to start working with myself. So that's not the only option I have in those moments. It's to understand what's going on for me in those moments inside that make me want to eat or check out or lash out or whatever's going on. Weight loss success stories, that's what they're doing. They're dropping the bullshit veil of, I got to be hard on myself to lose weight. I got to make everything mean something terrible. They just decide every time I do something, there's got to be a reason and there's got to be a way to learn from it. And as long as I keep plugging forward with that mindset, I will get to where I want to go. Even when I doubt it, even when I'm scared, even in all those other things. So it's just important for all of us to just know that when you are like highly activated or living in stress all day long, like you've had a hard day at work, and I'm not talking like we got to have earth-shattering things happening to us. A few days of tight deadlines and running around and having no moments to breathe is enough to make your nervous system to feel vulnerable, as if something's really wrong because you're not getting a break. And it's trying to tell you, I need a break. And if the best you have is to eat, all I ask you to do is don't break yourself even more. Don't do the eating and then do the shaming on top, because you're setting yourself back. You needed something in that moment, probably a break, probably rest, probably de-stressing, comfort, love. There was probably something in that you needed to feel free for a moment. You need to feel like you had control over something in your life. We always are eating for a reason. Even if the thought is it just tastes so good, why is it more important in that moment to keep eating something that tastes good? What's the underlying thing there? It just tastes so good, and I'm not ready for it to end. I'm not ready to get back to my, like, to what's going to be happening the rest of the night. It just tastes so good. I don't want to waste money. There's always reasons. Let's just find them. Let's just figure out a new way. And let's just make weight loss a lot easier on ourselves than what we're making it out to be. To me, the hardest thing I watch y'all do is not the actual leaving a little bit of food behind. Like, if we all step back and we let go of the drama and we let go of the fear, waiting for hunger, it's not that hard. But it's hard when you're telling yourself the whole time you're probably going to eat your face off and never lose weight. You all, when you get too hungry, bad things happen. That makes waiting for hunger hard. But just letting yourself be like, I'm going to guess. If I think I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. Now, waiting for hunger and thinking I'm probably getting it wrong, I bet I screw this up, I have no idea if I'm doing this right, that makes it hard. The same thing with the plan. Making a plan and just writing down what you think you might want to eat for the day, it's not hard. What makes it hard is you thinking, but I only like good foods. These are the foods I shouldn't be eating. I must be doing it wrong. This will never work for me because I'm an addict. That makes planning hard. Telling yourself that if you don't follow the plan, you'll never lose weight. That makes planning hard. And that's what I want for all of you to understand, is that everything that I teach you inside of No BS is not hard until our brain gets involved. Then once your brain gets involved, if it's harder than it has to be, let's work on your brain and let's make it easier. Instead of not doing things, I want to teach you how to have compassion and love for yourself. I want to teach you how to lose weight, not because you hate yourself, but because you want more for yourself. I want you to be able to be comfortable around all the foods, especially during the holidays, not sitting there thinking about all the things you can't have or thinking, I'm just going to wait until January 1 because I have to suffer through the holidays. It's like I either suffer through the holidays or I eat all the things. And I'm like, I want you to be in the middle. I want you to enjoy the holidays while also enjoying the foods that really matter to you so that you're also proud during the holidays. So I bring all this up, why is Karen talking about nervous system and all this other stuff? Because handling the holidays brings up a lot of shit for a lot of us. For some of us, we're going to be around family that we ain't seen in a long time. And sometimes we get so worried about their, like, what they might be thinking about our body, what they might be thinking about our eating, that we end up sending ourselves into an emotional tizzy. Some of us, we're going to see family that are for sure going to comment. I always talk about Uncle Bo Cephas. Get a few beers in him. Guess what? He likes to comment on the size of your ass and whether or not you are losing weight or not. So sometimes we have asshole commentary. For some of us, holidays are triggering because they bring up so much grief. We've lost people we love. Maybe you've gotten a divorce. Maybe your kids are empty. Maybe you're an empty nester now. And for years, you're used to spending holidays with your kids. Well, now them little bastards are often married and they got in-laws to go see. Can't just be about you now, mama. And that, we're grieving. The holidays just bring up, for people pleasers, a lot of you, you love the holidays, but they're so stressful because you're trying so hard to make it perfect for everyone. Buy the right gifts. Don't do the wrong thing. You're obsessing about the cleanliness of your house. You overcook all the time. Like, you're so worried about what other people think that you forget to breathe during the holidays. You're like, I want to create the perfect holiday, except it's a nightmare for you. The perfect holiday includes you. And most of us don't even ask that question. So handling the holidays, that's what we're going to be studying the next month or so. We're going to do relationships in December as a nice bookend to handling the holidays. This next month kind of kicks off the holiday season for all types of cultures around the world and events. December, we're going to work on relationships, because when you are in celebration mode, when there's, like, whether it's New Year's, it can be Christmas, it can be Hanukkah, it can be all kinds of things. When you're in celebration mode, very often your relationships are tested, the relationship with you and the relationship with others. So that's what we're going to be doing the next 2 months. For some of you, you always question, like, how does this apply to weight loss? When we take the temperature down and when we have better relationships, we really understand how to go through the holidays, you lessen how much you eat through the holidays for bullshit reasons. And that's why we end the year like this, because I want you set up. Most of you, guess what we're going to have on January 1? Our big workshop, where we're going to be kicking ass. We're starting the year. We're goal setting. We're doing all the things. You're already going to be highly motivated then. How about we start January 1 without you gaining an extra 5 pounds because you ate your face off, thinking the holidays are too hard to lose weight? How about we start the new year off with some relationship cleanup so that you feel supported in everything that you want to do for yourself next year? And then for a lot of you, this will be the first holiday that you'll lose weight and you won't feel deprived and you won't feel like you missed out. You're going to feel like you got to do all of it, and you're going to find out, like, this is what being an OBS woman is really all about. It's about in losing my weight the way I truly want to live my life. It's not about deprivation and restriction and all the things. Okay, so let's look at what all I need to tell y'all. So we have a bonus challenge this month. So if you just want to listen to the holidays content, I re-recorded stuff. It's fresh. If you've listened to it before, you're going to have some oldie and you're going to have some goodie. For those who want a little bonus challenge, though, because a lot of us like to, like, have something that we can, like, what? Let's put together, let's do the things. Here's what we're doing. During the month of November, we ask that you make a daily plan every single day. And I want it doable and I want it realistic. If you're in America and you celebrate Thanksgiving, I want to see turkey and dressing on it or whatever it is that you love. I'm pretty sure mine's going to have, like, I don't even know what Aunt JJ's, I hate to say it, but I don't know what Aunt JJ's making, but I will be having something decadent. I'm sure mashed potatoes better get on our menu. That's all I got to say. And I would love some fried okra. So if anybody knows Aunt JJ, let's make sure we, like, whisper. Corinne would like fried okra. It's one of my favorites. Then move 10 minutes a day. Just move. I don't want you hearing this and thinking that you got to be outside running or doing a HIIT training for 10 minutes or some bullshit. I am talking about movement. Now, kind of going back to what we were talking about, y'all know I'm kind of going through it right now. Like we're in that awful stage where you're just waiting on some results. That's all we're doing right now. I have no news for anybody. It's no different than what I cried about on Sunday. And all week long, I've been getting more and more tired. I can tell that I've just got like I am, like, literally managing my mind so well. But when there's underlying worry and fear, it just wears on your nervous system. And I'm getting more and more tired. And so yesterday I went for a long walk. And this morning I thought, all right, you know, you had your day, you went for your walk, you know, time to get back in there and lift your arms. I was going to do a leg. I had all this, like, hoorah plan. Well, when I got up this morning, I was anything but a hoorah. I was tired. I went out on my morning little quick walk. I always take about a 15, 20 minute walk, and I talk to my best friend through Marco Polo every morning. And while I was walking, I was breathless. Like, it was hard to just walk for 15 minutes and 20 minutes to talk. And I realized I just don't need to be pushing my body. There's no reason that I need to be pushing my body that hard. And I was sitting there thinking, what do I most want right now? And I was like, I just want to walk. I just want to walk. I want to listen to some stuff. I don't want to have to produce. I don't want to have to work hard. I don't want to do any of it. This is what I actually want. And I just said, this is what we're doing today. And I took a nice, delicious walk. I think I walked for about 45 minutes in the fall crisp air and was grateful that we're at a point in the weather where when I want to go for a walk, I'm just going to do that for myself. And so when you're thinking about your 10 minutes a day, I want you to think about it. It's like, what would you be doing for 10 minutes a day that would feel like a gift? Is it a walk? Is it meditation? Is it not downward dog? What is the shit? I'm like a certified yoga teacher from back in the day, you know, with child's pose. I just kept thinking dog's pose. I knew that wasn't it. Downward dog, child's pose. Maybe it's just child's pose. Maybe it's 10 minutes of stretching. The point of 10 minutes of movement a day is for you to connect with yourself on moving, being with your body a little bit, whereas you might not usually do that. So 10 minutes a day, and then we're going to write one daily gratitude for each day of November. So this is nice because it's already in your planner. So if you do your daily plan, you're going to get your gratitude thing knocked out. And then all you got to do is add 10 minutes a day. And there will be prizes at the end of the month for everybody who gets started. And I know that today's November 2nd. If you didn't do it yesterday, guess what? Start today. Nowhere did I say in this, I only award prizes to perfectionists or those who do it exactly right. You know who I award prizes to? Those who choose to submit and be proud of themselves no matter how they show up. That's who should get a prize, not someone who beats themselves into submission to do something. All right. So prizes are part of it. Okay. 42 people joined the Queen's Club this week. If you want to know all about Queen's Club, you can go to nobswomen.com, log into your membership site, go to the menu. It will tell you everything you need to know about Queen's Club. That means they've lost 25 pounds. And we had 42 more of those today. We also had another person win the Century Club Award, which means Leah Thomas has officially lost 100 pounds with No BS. So she said, I love being a No BS woman because going through the thought work made me realize my value and what I bring to the table. I am absolutely enough. I also love the support and the different perspectives people have on switching thoughts. And then we also had 9 more people enter maintenance this week. So we had a lot of success this week. Round of applause for all of our ladies. All right. So with handling the holidays, I just want to give you 3 key things to think about. Number one, I want you to decide that your weight loss is possible during the holiday season. What I don't want you doing is wishing for it. So a lot of us sit back and we want it. We wish for it. We think about it. We listen to a lot of stuff Corinne says. You push play on the Private Member Podcast. You're in consumption junction mode. That's wishing for it. Deciding you're going to do something has action behind it. If you decide you're going to lose weight, then you're going to decide on small things that you're going to do during the next 2 months that by January will add up to any. I don't care if your goal is, I just want to be down a pound, or if you want to be down 8 pounds, it's up to you. Some of you, it would be amazing. Think about it. If you always end up gaining weight because you go into fuck it mode, or you just eat all the things without really thinking, just like, oh, it's the holidays. You know, I rarely get these things. And then you're eating like Reese's peanut butter cups that look like a Christmas tree. That ain't special. It may taste good, but don't sit there and delude yourself that you could only have that once a year. Oreos that are red and green are not once a year things. They got Oreos every fucking day of the year without food dye in them. Be honest with yourself. Like, I want you having the food you truly want, but what I don't want you doing is deluding yourself throughout the holidays and eat all the things saying, I only get it this time of year. That's not true. A lot of times y'all will talk about like turkey and dressing. Last I checked, Kroger's still going to sell a turkey in January if you really want one. Like, do yourself a favor and truly figure out what is important to you for the holidays, especially when it comes to food. Now, inside the Handling Holidays workbook, we've got a holiday guide worksheet or goal worksheet for you. One of the things that we teach very different at NoBS is I just want you to decide what's going to happen for the holidays so that your brain can go to work on making it happen. If you decide you can't lose weight during the holidays, you're going to fuck it eat a lot. You're going to find yourself feeling hopeless at meals or out of control and stuff because your decision was, I've decided it's too hard for me. Instead of deciding, I'm going to make this easier on myself. I want small wins this holiday season instead of big ass losses. So use the goal sheet to decide, am I going to gain weight? Sometimes I will tell you, I have had clients year after year who are like, I know I'm always really motivated in January and I also have lots of parties and lots of things I just want to indulge in. And I'm okay with gaining 3 or 4 pounds. They're like, I'm not going to repeat these habits going into January. I only do this during this time of year and it's worth it to me. That's a decision. That is a decision that's well thought out and well reasoned. I have lots of clients through the years who have said, I'm not going to lose any weight, but I'm also not going to gain any. My goal during the holidays is to maintain. So I'm going to allow myself at, you know, meals that are special to me to eat to full instead of enough. I'm going to have more things that I normally don't eat, and not losing weight is fine with me. And then I have some people who are like, I want to lose weight. Holidays, you know, like I'm okay with losing weight during the holidays. I'd rather lose weight than eat the things. That means a lot to me. I just want you choosing deliberately what you're going to do. And then I also want you to think about one of the best ways for you to stay engaged during the holidays is if you can, listen to me a little bit each day. For a lot of you who get overwhelmed during the holidays, it's helpful if you just plug in the Private Member Podcast and listen to a quick hit every day. Like maybe you're listening to something that's 5 minutes long. Maybe you'll just push play on a quick hit and only listen to 2 to 3 minutes just to get like that little bit of other thoughts planted in your brain versus your own. But a lot of people say like one of the best things that they've done for themselves during the holidays is like on the way to parties and on the way to events and stuff, they'll listen to some NoBS before they go in just to give themselves that extra little boost and get their brain focused on different thinking than just their own fear thoughts. Number two. So number one is we're going to decide that our weight loss is possible during this holiday season. We're not going to wish for it. And we're going to make that a real conscious decision by using the goal worksheet. The second thing is we don't want you going into the same situations that you did last year, expecting everyone else to be different, hoping that things don't happen. I think this is the best thing for you to think about. If you tend to go to holiday situations where people comment on your weight or you get really worried that people are thinking about your weight or you get super nervous around being around food that you're just never around that food unless it's during the holidays, then what I want you to do is not to sit there and just hope you do better or hope it doesn't bother you or whatever. Remember, we don't snort hopium in NoBS. We make plans. We anticipate things. We work through those situations in our mind ahead of time so that our nervous system can calm down. So think about what you're most worried about that's probably happened in the past. What are your thoughts that you have now? You're going to use the four N's. Notice what you're thinking. That's normal to think those things because it's happened in the past and my brain only, like the automatic part of my brain only knows how to go and look at what I thought last time to apply to the future. It's my logical brain's job to decide how we're going to handle things this time, how we're going to think about it this time, and what we're going to do differently this time. If I want my brain to behave differently in the future, I have to do it ahead of time in my head. Otherwise, your brain can only access what's happened in the past. And that's it. So you've got to give it something else to access. And so inside the Handling the Holidays course is the Doable Event Planning Worksheet. This will help you work through these situations. So once you normalize, like, oh, it would be normal for me to go through those things, then you're going to do the neutralize, where you're going to break down what might happen in the future just in facts. Uncle Bo Cephas will say words. You know, there will be sugar cookies, grandma's favorite pie. Like, there will be these things. So neutralize so that you know that you're not going to be trying to apply how you're going to think to your old story. You're applying new thinking to the facts of what's going to happen. And you're the fact, I mean, some of it can be factual, but you can almost bet Uncle Bo Cephas will say something. Some of it you may have to guess a little bit. And then you come up with that next best thought or action. But you can also use the Doable Event Planning Worksheet, and that will be helpful. The last thing is people who have support lose weight faster than those who don't. This is study after study. You are here. So you need to think about all the ways that you can get support through the holidays. We're going to have our grief coaching calls. We have Ask Coaches. If you're ever in a sticky spot and you want a coach to guide you, go to Ask Coaches and have let them work through some of this stuff with you. You have the Facebook group and your subgroups. You have these calls. If you can attend live where you can ask live questions, you have your private member podcast. You have your video replays to listen to no BS content. So you have support through the holidays. And some of you, you may need, like, a lot of times the holidays brings up a lot of like past trauma. Like, you might be dealing with things that are a little bit more serious, like around relationships and that kind of stuff. We have some openings right now in our private coaching program. So you can go over to the website right now and you can check that out. And you may want to work with a private coach for the next 3 months to get you through the holidays and to bridge you into 2023 so that you set yourself up to overcome some of these things that have been holding you back. And then the other thing that I just wanted to say in terms of support is, you know, you have us. I mean, we're here for you. Every one of us. No BS is not closing on the holidays. If you'll notice, I'm usually the one that's on Christmas and Thanksgiving. Because not all of you celebrate the Christian holidays or the American holidays. So number one, I got members all over the world and of all the faiths. So we're going to be here 24/7. We just don't close. But don't forget that you have people in your real life that also may want to support you, but you're isolating yourself because you don't want to be a burden. You don't want to look silly in front of them. You don't want to be asking too much. For a lot of my people pleasers or people who worry about what people might be thinking about them, please give some of your loved ones the benefit of the doubt. I know you don't do it intentionally, but a lot of times y'all dismiss us. You think that we're thinking terrible things about you. It's like, give us some credit. We're in your life for a reason. We probably love you. And we would love to make something easier for you rather than watching you make your life so hard. It hurts people who love you to watch you suffer. It also feels so disconnecting for the people who love you when you don't ask for help. Now, I know not everybody's in that situation, but of all the years that I have been coaching in No BS, I mean, I've been with y'all for like 15 years now. And all these years, the vast majority of people actually have people in their lives that really love them. And they just don't love themselves enough to let them in. Because they don't love themselves a lot, they have a hard time imagining that the people in their lives could see them any other way than the shit show of what they see themselves. So consider this holiday not just leaning on us. We're here no matter what. We are your safety net. You got us. But consider some of the people in your real life too. Okay. Let's answer a few questions. This year we are having family drama and I will not be spending Thanksgiving or Christmas with my sister, brother-in-law, and niece. My nieces, who I love to death and miss, birthdays will fall on Thanksgiving. Any advice on getting through and out of the normal holiday season? Yeah, this is Angie. This would be really good for you to take to ask coaches and talk about what your thoughts and feelings about it are. The only thought that I really have is we're having family drama. Like, we know the facts. You're not going to be spending time with them. You love your nieces and you're going to not be with them. So what we want to be finding out from you, Angie, is what you're making all this mean. For some of it, it's like, I wouldn't be too quick to try to feel good about it. I would look for ways to, like, this would be the way that I would be thinking about it. I do love my nieces. I do want to be with them. I'm not going to be with them. I'm choosing not to be with them. And that makes me sad. And I want to be there for myself through my sadness. Sometimes what we do is we try to like look at it through a new lens. It's like, you know, I'm choosing to. And, you know, like we try to make something happy that we're not happy about. Like, I like to think of it this way. The fact is you're sad. So now, like, knowing that you are sad, what do you want to make it mean for you? Do you want to make it mean, I don't like feeling this way? Do you want it to be very resistant? Do you want it to be like this anguish and all this other stuff? Or do you want to make it mean that's so normal? I just love them so much. And I want to make my sadness mean this is an opportunity for me to figure out how to be there for myself. And I think that's the first step in figuring out how to go through and out of the normal holiday season. And I mean, I think you can just make it factual that this is not the normal holiday season. And that it might be hard for you. But can you be okay with it being hard for you because you're being compassionate and understanding your own thoughts and feelings about it rather than making it hard on yourself because all you're doing is sitting there in blame and thinking everything's wrong and that you shouldn't feel this way and that you need to feel better? Because the problem that will happen is if you keep trying to just feel better, like I want you to think about when we get like in a situation like this, like I would think about me, like, let's say this was something that's going on in my life. I would want to feel disappointed. I would want to feel sad. I wouldn't want to be angry. And I would be telling myself, like, I refuse to be angry about this instead of focusing on, I love those little girls and I'm going to miss them. And I would want to use it as a way to learn how to be with myself than to use it as a way to just, you know, like, for lack of a better word, be an emotional child. And I've done that in my past. I have done that, like, with my father, thinking that like, he should call me, he should do all these things. And it's like, he doesn't do those things, was the first thing I ever told myself. And I don't agree with it. It hurts. It makes me think he doesn't love me. And that's normal. That doesn't, like, what I did in my thought work was, that doesn't make me unlovable though. Like, this is on him, but I still love me And then I started looking for ways that where I'm going to be proud of me and where I'm going to feel love and stuff. And I'm going to be sad and I'm going to be disappointed with him. Like, one of the best things that came out of this year of me coaching around my father was finally not trying to make the way he shows up okay. I have understanding around it. I have a lot of thoughts now of like, I can see why he is the way he is and that kind of stuff. But that doesn't take away that it hurts that I'll never have the relationship I truly want with my father. And I just decided sometimes that just hurts. What hurts more though is trying to make it all okay. What hurts the most is like arguing with myself that I shouldn't feel this way, that I should be more evolved. I should be better than this. That hurt the worst. It hurt the integrity of the relationship with me. So just thinking through a lot of that stuff might be helpful. Take it to ask coaches, though. This is a perfect example of something where you can really break down what's going on for you, post and ask coaches, and our coaches can work with you on that stuff. We do not have closed caption abilities, Shay, on our videos. We just don't have it yet on our Zoom account. We do though, for all of our videos, we transcribe them for you. So if you want, you can always read not only the transcription of the video, we put them with every call. We also give you the chat transcriptions so that no one ever misses out on the chat. I'm realizing that I'm still hanging on to emotional eating in the form of ice cream or a snack at night. Some grab-assing during the day, BLTs while cooking, and overeating when out with friends or having drinks. It's these little things that I don't seem to want to give up without a fight mentally and emotionally. I was able to do all these things and still lose that first 65 pounds. I'd like ideas on next steps, making the changes I need, and working on my thoughts around it, not feeling deprived. Marcy, you just got to find this. Here's the thing. If, like, how is it that, like, asking yourself, I just want you to ask, this is the journaling question I want you to have. Why do I call grab-assing and emotional eating when I can't do it deprivation? Like, I want you to like write on that. Why? Like, everything that you said, you're like, if I take away emotional eating, if I take away bites, licks, and tastes, if I, like, while I'm cooking, if I take away overeating with my friends and overdrinking, why am I calling that deprivation? It's such a good question to ask yourself, because one of the things is like, just because your brain thinks you're being deprived doesn't mean that you are. It means your brain is misinformed. And then you get to ask yourself this important question. All right. Without emotional eating at night, what would I have to give myself? Because right now I'm depriving myself of figuring out what I really need. Like, if we're going to have a deprivation moment, let's think about this. I deprived myself of feeling truly better, figuring out who I want to be, learning how to be with myself in the best way. Every time I eat ice cream at night, I deprive myself of my goals when I'm just having bites, licks, and tastes when I'm overeating, or when I'm cooking dinner. I deprive myself of fully enjoying my dinner when I'm having bites, licks, and tastes. When I overeat with friends, I deprive myself of feeling good the next day. I deprive myself of conversations because I'm just eating. Like, let's flip the script. Like, deprivation cuts both ways. Right now, you're depriving yourself of being the person you want to be. And you're making about this, like, how do I not feel deprivation? What if you just felt deprived and did all those things knowing that that's a lie? And every time you say it, it's like, look, I may feel deprived because I keep thinking it's unfair. I really want this, blah, 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 blah. But this is not a deprivation issue, bitch. If you want to over, like, I just tell myself in that moment, like, Marcy, you are emotionally eating right now. This is not because you're deprived. There are kids all over America right now without food. That's deprivation. You not being able to eat ice cream while you watch TV because you had a bad day, not going to be in the dictionary definition of deprivation when it comes to food. Now, I'm deprived of feeling good in this moment because I'm not saying no to ice cream and figuring out what I absolutely need. Like, get clear. So journal on that. And then also, I just want you for the next couple of weeks, without changing anything, I just want you to notice when these things are happening. I don't want you to change it, but I want you to just listen for the conversation of like, oh, the reason why I feel deprived is not because I'm getting ready to cut these things out. The reason why I'm feeling deprived is because I keep thinking these things. And you need to get really aware of that. Like, shit, here I am one more time having a moment where I think I'm going to be deprived and it's just not true. For a lot of you, just being in the noticing and telling the truth naturally spurs change in a few weeks. When it's not a bunch of lies and a bunch of things that make you feel good about these decisions, like especially if you tell yourself the truth and you don't feel good or justified in overeating or continuing or whatever, like, oh, I don't want to be deprived, so I'm going to eat these things. When you take that away, feeling good about it, you're left with like, I'm actually depriving myself of what I really want. How bad could it be to cook a meal and not pop shit in my mouth? Like, and I would ask myself, that would be the easiest one. If you're going to do low-hanging fruit, I would do that one. Like, how bad physically and emotionally is it going to be if I cook a meal and I don't pop macaroni or a chicken tender in my mouth? It ain't like I'm not fixing to eat. So it's like asking those really good questions of yourself. How do we document to enter the challenge? You don't. You're just going to you've got your habit tracker. There's a box on there that asks, did you move each, like is self-development or movement? You can use that. There's an empty box. If you want to put movement because you track self-development, you can use that. If you want to, for the 24-hour plan, the habit tracker has that checkbox on there for you. You can use that. And then movement and the gratitude. If you did your 24-hour plan every day, guess what? You know you did your gratitude. But we don't put together like special trackers for this stuff, especially when we already have the trackers. Here's the way I think about it. Y'all are grown-ass women. If you want to do the challenge and you like it, you just going to do it. Track for yourself. And then at the end of the month, tell us what you found out. I'm looking for people who are like, I don't care if you do it the whole month. We're not going to ask you to submit trackers. Like there's no proof of concept that's going to be required to win prizes. I just always trust that the people who are submitting because they're like, I feel like I did better this month. This challenge helped me. I did a little bit more than I thought I would. I showed up for myself. And that can be you showed up the last week or you showed up the entire month. The way I like to grade y'all, I'm the one that gives the E for effort. This is not about getting straight A's and no BS. It's about what are you learning? What's behind it? Somebody could give me, we have plenty of women in this group who could say, you know, last month I didn't track a damn thing, but I decided to do this challenge. And you know, this month I tracked like 12 days. That's a huge win in my book because it started getting on the radar that you're going to take some baby steps forward and you're not just going to sit there and keep trying to only do A+ effort. With the temperatures changing, I have caught a cold and so feel like crap. My motivation sucks. I'm doing the 24-hour plan, but I'm finding that I'm too tired to cook. Then if you're too tired to cook, then quit planning to cook at night. There's an easy solution. I sure as hell wouldn't be cooking at night if I felt like shit. And I just want easy. Okay. stopping it enough has been a little hard. I can't seem to feel when I'm done. Honestly, I really just want a nap. That's why you're not feeling like you're having, you can hardly find your enough because you're tired. Then take a fucking nap. Why are you not taking a nap? But I have to work and then mom things. What I can do now that I won't regret later. What can I do now that I won't regret later? I would probably quit cooking at night. Stop cooking so you can go to bed earlier. That'd be the first thing I'd do. If you're having a hard time finding enough, then eat till full. Just while you have a cold. Y'all, nobody's overweight because they had so many colds this year that they ate till full. Like, not one person in this group is overweight because of colds, flus, COVID, and all this other stuff. You know why we're overweight? Judgment, thinking we should, applying it. Like, I'm not only am I sick and run down, but now I'm putting all this pressure on myself that I should be doing this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm arguing with myself. All I want is a nap, even though I know I can't take a nap. And we don't give ourselves any ease. All you're saying is, I just need some ease. And you're doing anything but giving yourself ease. You're giving yourself judgment and shoulds. And I want this and I can't have it. It's like, okay, if you can't have a nap, then stop telling yourself you want a nap. Start telling yourself there's got to be other things I can do to make my life easier right now. Like not cooking and having no judgment over it. If you didn't have any judgment over that, you would probably be able to stop it enough a lot easier. The having a hard time stopping it enough is because you're giving yourself so much pressure simply because you have a cold. That when you eat, it's the only relief you're getting. So yeah, you're going to want to eat. We got to start learning how to give ourselves relief mentally some, y'all. Because if you don't give yourself a mental break, our brains are trying to give us a food break in the absence of our mental breaks. Let's see. Last question. Where would you recommend that I focus for increasing my ability to sit with feelings during urges to eat? Journaling seems difficult. No, I would never try to journal in the moment. For most of you, journaling in the moment. Now, some of you, journaling in the moment is very helpful. If that is, you continue to do that. For a lot of us, when we're having an urge, it's like what I was telling y'all earlier. Your reasoning brain is checked out during an urge. This is why we do 24-hour planning, so that when you have urges, you don't have to think about what you're going to eat. The plan is laid out for you. So all you have to do is just follow the plan when you have urges. That's why we have you do doable urges in the beginning. That's why we have you do all of that. Now, I realize I need to get into journaling daily. If you're going to journal daily, Anonymous, what I would, especially with urges, I would journal away from the urges, like in a different part of the day where you're more alert. And I would journal on how you want to show up for your urges. Do you want to breathe? Do you want to give yourself like 10 minutes before you eat to just like sit and decide, like, do I really want it? Or is there something else going on for me that I need? And if you like, you can do those guesses in the morning, like my most common urges, what is it do I think I really need in those moments if food's not going to be my answer? Let's see. That's the main thing. And so now for all of you, the urges module in No BS and the last module of No BS 3 and 4, they're getting their rewrite and refresh and will release in January. But just for now with urges, the best way to sit with urges is simply, this is what I do when I have them, is I tell myself, if you still want it in 10 minutes, you can have it. But between now and then, I just want you to ask, are you actually hungry? If the answer is no, then I know that it's an emotional thing. If the answer is yes, then I just eat, even if it breaks the plan, because the basics play in concert together. So if you're physically hungry, even if you didn't plan something, but you're like, I know I'm physically hungry, we need to like respect the body. You respect the body over the plan. So even though I know hunger's not an emergency and being a little hungry ain't going to kill nobody, if you're physically hungry and you're starting to have urges, I encourage you to eat. We're going to build trust with the body. We're going to build trust that we know what we're doing. We're going to trust that our body wouldn't send us real hunger signals unless it actually needed some food. Then if the answer is this is emotional, This is not physical. I actually just say, like, what do you need right now other than food? Do you need to tell yourself you're okay? Do you need to just lay here? Do you just need to listen to what your body's going through? A lot of times I'll just do a quick body scan. I'll just sit, close my eyes, take a couple of deep breaths. And I'm like, where am I feeling my urge in my body? I want the physical sensation. It's like, oh, like my mouth's watering. And for me, a lot of times, like I just get a super watery mouth and my throat, it feels like just extra wet. It's just like, I get this like wet sensation. And I realize like, that's all that's happening because my brain is wanting food right now. And for me, most of the time it's coming off of, feeling guilty that I should still be working. That I didn't get everything I wanted to get done for the day. Like one of the things I've learned over this year is to quit planning to do so much stuff every day. I've been making sure that I plan like just really important work. Anything else, I call it bonus, but I've had to quit thinking that when I didn't do bonus work, that meant I didn't get enough done. I'm really good at understanding the difference between bonus work and important work. But what my brain hadn't caught up to yet is that just because I don't get to bonus work doesn't mean I failed for the day. It doesn't mean that I didn't do enough. And I've had to work on that. Now, I was wanting to eat at night over that. I was wanting to drink at night to get away from feeling bad that I wasn't doing enough. So just like having that quick pause is everything for me in urges. And then a lot of times while I'm having the urge, I will tell myself, all right, if you're still hungry at the end of 10 minutes, what is the best decision you can make when you eat? Like there's always something I can do. Like that keeps me from just going into fuck it mode or just eating anything. A lot of times I'll say like, all right, I'm really wanting to go scarf down on Chris's chips, but if I really need something, I know I've got fruit in the fridge. I know I've got protein bars. I start going through some of the foods. It's like, all right, if I am going to eat and the best I can, like I'm going to feed my emotional urge, I just don't want to feed it a bunch of shit that I'm also going to have tons of regret on the backside for. If I'm going to have the chips or something, sometimes I'll tell myself, all right, I know you're really wanting the chips. I've done all the things. I'm not bringing the bag to the bed. I get a bowl, I put the chips in it, I go to bed. And I always do a discovery worksheet the next day. I kind of just work through it. I don't let myself beat myself up over it. Just tell myself, this is what was going on for you. And then I watch y'all do this a lot, and I'm going to try to start coaching more and more on this in the next few months, which is the problem beneath the problem. When you overeat, the problem isn't that you overate. And the problem isn't what you think about the overeat. The problem is what got us there to begin with. And like, how do I find that? I can't find the problem beneath the problem if I'm judging myself. Now I got to work on my relationship with me. I don't get to work on the relationship with food. I don't get to work on what was really going on for me. I'm just working on beating myself up. For a lot of you, we have to start there. You've never been taught to love yourself through everything. You've never been taught compassion for self. So some of us, we have to start there. But after a while, you want to get to where you now start like, all right, last night I chose the chips and I put them in a bowl. And maybe I went back and got a second bowl. I'm glad that I did these things for myself. So what was it that was really going on for me? I just want to know, even if I don't feel like I can change it, even if I feel like it's the truth, even if I feel like it's overwhelming, I just want to know. So now my brain can be thinking through the day like, all right, this is a tripping point for me. This is something that's really going on for me. And I really want to solve this. And when you find those things, take it to ask coaches. I don't expect all of you to be deep coaching, but like deep coaches. That's why I hire them. That's why I put them through trainings. That's why I do shit with them. But I teach y'all like how to probe for all of it, what to be looking for and stuff so that you can take that stuff to ask coaches. If you find something that like, you're like, wow, I had no clue. They're there to help you normalize it. So we can get to helping you. There's, I promise all of you, there's nothing you're going to find that we either haven't heard, haven't been through, or that we'll be shocked about. Nothing. I mean, I've heard all of it. You can't have talked to people intimately for 15 years about their lives to have not heard every single thing. Nothing shocks me anymore. And this is why nothing shocks me, because I have a core belief in every single one of you that we've all just got unique experiences, and none of them make us bad. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. And sometimes you just need somebody to tell you that so that you can get to doing the work of overcoming it. All right, everybody, that's it for today. I will not see you on Sunday. I'm actually flying to Phoenix, Arizona. I am doing a week-long workshop and teaching. I'll be teaching almost every day, doing all kinds of stuff for a business thing. But you are going to be in good hands. Let me tell you what's coming up. Because every time the queen's gone, we all sit around and we're like, okay, if I'm not here, we want to give them an extra special gift. And what could we be giving them? So you are going to be getting, We don't have it changed on the, I'm here this Sunday. Never mind. It's the following Sunday. I'm here this Sunday. I'm flying out that afternoon. So I am doing my usual weight loss coaching call on Wednesday with all of you. And then when we get done, I'm headed to the airport to fly out. It's next Wednesday's Q&A. You will have Coach MJ, who is going to be handling your holiday drinking. So we're gonna have a very special holiday call on just how do you handle the drinks of the holidays. Now, if you are not a drinker, please do not sit and like, this doesn't apply to me. How we handle holiday drinks is how we handle candy and cakes and nachos, like my favorite. I just wish that it was traditional that you ate nachos for Christmas. If I could just get my family on board with that, talk about peace on earth and goodwill to Corinne. So anyway, next Wednesday, you will have Handling the Holidays with Coach MJ. All right. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you on Sunday. Bye, y'all.